Hello, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Fountain Pen and Stationery Season 3, Episode 6. I am your host, Frank. Yeah, today is going to be a pretty straightforward episode. So I am just going to go over some recent releases and some slight observations / sharing a few of my troubles recently in regards to Fountain Pen purchases. So let's dive right in. All right, so the first product is the Montacropod Elmo 01 Fountain Pen Deep Sea Limited Edition. So here's the interesting about this pen. This is actually a blank done by the Turn Pen Co. Company. It's interesting because this is also a Gulet Pen exclusive. Gulet has been running a lot of exclusive lately, but I'm going to cover this slightly later. They also lost the exclusivity of one of the main companies they've been running with for a long time. That's something that I just noticed. So maybe they are trying to find a new partner for a new pen that is limited to their companies only. And this is a deep blue resin pen along with some shades of purple throwing along with some green color. The mixing and the separation is not too obvious if based on the website photos. And there is a little bit of metallic flick throwing as well to assemble the tiny amount of light reflections you see in deep sea or just bubbles in general. But if you are going to show me this fountain pen without a title, my first instinctive guess would have told you that this is a space theme pen. It's probably like a Milky Way / Nebula pen because, again, dark blue, dark purple, along with some sparkles. It feels more like space than deep blue sea, to be completely honest with you. But hey, that's what they call it, and I guess that's what the Turn Pen Co. felt like what they were producing. So this pen, it is not too small of a size, honestly. It is, let's see here. It is 144 millimeter. Wait, no, that's not right. Okay, I'm sorry. The diameter of a body is 14.4 millimeter, with the grip being 10.3, body is 127.8. So, I mean, this is more or less your traditional larger size number 6 nib pen. Well, by the way, yeah, this comes with the Yovo number 6 nib. The nib, it is stainless steel. It comes in extra fine, medium, broad, 1.1 millimeter of stub. And it is in cartridge converter / cartridge or converter, not piston fill, and also being stainless steels, I am not sure of the pricing they want this pen is going to sell the pen, to be honest, because this pen is going to be sold for $316. That's quite a hefty price to fetch for Montagrappa, to be completely honest with you. I know that the Kinilea Pen Company does sell their pen at this much price as well. And also they do, their pen is also not cheap. I think actually, in fact, some of their pen does fetch $400 before even putting the fancier finish. But at the same time, with a Pennelia pen company, you have a lot more customizability that you can choose. Like you can add medallions, you can choose the finishing color of medallion, you can choose the nib finishes, and you can sometimes even choose the shape of the pen as well. So, $360 for a quote-unquote limited edition, which is probably going to be reproduced in a larger volume because, after all, this is a Montagrappa release, and they do not specify the amount of release, so it's not very low volume, I would assume. it's going to be a pretty hard sell, even though, let's be honest here, some sailor pen that is injection molded will be sold by a similar price. I guess the counterpoint you can say is that the sailor pens has gold nib, and sailor pens are typically having a better reputation behind them, along with a better two nib, instead of just your typical Yovel nibs. So, well, beauty is eyes of the holder. If you liked how this pen looks, go ahead, pick one out and order and let me see. And what, maybe share on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, wherever. And let's see how this one actually looks like in person. Because that's the issue with this release, is that there is no video available so far. So you can't really tell how the glitter and the pen blick actually going to function in person. The cap kind of suggests that this is a half translucent color pen as well, but I'm not entirely sure that's just camera trickery or this is something that you can actually see in real life. But speaking of injection molded sailor, this is something that the sailor is doing differently this time around. They are actually in fact having a middle gripception as their new limited release of professional gear. And this is going to be the professional gear Ropinki Gold and Ginza Silver fountain pen. They are going to be basically a yellowish, darker yellow gold, along with the silver color pen, with the barrels, the grip sections, the grip sections color will be matching your nib's color. The sailor nib comes in 21K gold, but it is either going to be a silver nib or it is going to be a, this is a not their typical gold nib color, I would say. It's a little bit more like a faded gold. I'm not sure this is plated or not, but the gold nib color is certainly different than their typical 21K. This is more like a rose gold color, but a much lighter color. So if you want to take a look, go ahead and take a look at click the link below. This is a Japan release so far. Hopefully you will make it stateside. And okay, the next one up will be actually, this is not a fountain pen. This is a new nib going to be being developed by the designer Ben Welsh, the guy that's behind Gravitas pens. I know there are some concerns regards to the Gravitas customer service quality and just in general to meet shipping time. But this is not really talking about the product itself, but the actual nib release. This is his newest nib called the Legacy Nib. Supposedly, it is manufactured in a very different manner than normal. And the nib is mostly a lasered process. So some kind of laser cutting is involved, or maybe the EDM wire cutting. I'm not entirely sure what's going on. I believe the current rumor is that the nib is going to cost less than $50, which is actually probably put it cheaper than the Skong Design's specialty nib as well. And the only thing is, I'm not sure how well this nib will write compared to this Skong Design Monarch nib, because I have tried that nib at the pen show, and the Monarch nib actually writes really, really well at both the right side down, like a normal orientation, versus reverse orientation. It works really well both way, because according to the creators, their specialty, the fact that entire thing is milled directly means that they have much more control of how the nib is going to see and work from both sides. So, but from the looks on the Instagram page for Ben Welsh, it looks like it is more or less a nib that is designed specifically for the normal side writing. But we'll see. At release, it's probably going to be tagged with a Gravitas nib. And if you want to purchase this, I will strongly suggest you to buy it from Pen Venture directly. It gives you additional buffer with the shipping time and the troubleshooting if anything goes wrong. And honestly, this nib actually piqued my interest because if it's $50 and lower, it's probably worth a try. It looks like a very unique pen mechanism, to be completely honest with you. Next up, it is one of the budget-minded people's favorite fountain pen, the Platin Preppy. It's actually not even budget-minded. This is actually, the Platin Preppy is a pen that is surprisingly durable and also airtight, because I have a friend that has his coworker accidentally left a Preppy in his car for over 2 months, and surprisingly the ink inside is still intact and still able to write with it. So that is something a typical fountain pen would not. You would not see a normal typical fountain pen nowadays. And but anyway, this is a Platin Preppy in the Wah Modern Marquier second edition. So the Wah Marquier is Wah Modern Marquier. It is the let's don't beat around the bushes. This is a silk printed fountain pen, so it's really I guess you can try to argue or talk about what exactly it means to be a Marquier, but you know, it's not what we typical imagine to be. This is a silk printed patterns with their own very special designs on them. I believe there is 6 different ones this time, and the color goes from red, green, blue, purple. This is a dark blue, maybe. My very tired eyes can very hardly tell what color this is. And lastly, a silver. And their name is all in Japanese. I am going to botch all of them, but then here we go. Number 1, Kyoten, which means gourd. 2nd is Tachibana, which is citrus Tachibana. And the 3rd is Koino Taki Noburi. This is carp climbing up a waterfall. Number 4 is Natsu, which means eggplant. Number 5 is Yanagi ni Komori. This is bats and willow. And the number 6 is Asako, which means morning glory. The pattern actually looks really nice, I'll be completely honest with you. The Natsu is just like a really fun eggplant shaping pen. And I actually really like the drawing of the carp version along with the with number 5, the bat and willow, the Yanagi ni Komori, along with the Asako version as well. These pens are, of course, this Platin Preppy, so it is not expensive, at least compared to all the other fountain pens out there. This is going to be 6. Code Pen currently offers a set of 6 for $61. So if you want to break it up, it is roughly $10 per pen. It is definitely more expensive than your typical Platin Preppy. Which is typically how much money now? Let me take a look. I have not bought a Preppy for a long time. Oh, actually no. A normal Preppy is $7. So at the end of the day, you're really paying $3 more for specially designed. That is not bad at all, if you ask me. Huh. This actually makes really good gift to people that kind of want to start looking to fountain pen, or if you try to pen embo or pen addict someone to draw them into a hobby. This is not a bad gift. only comes in fine nib, which is 0.3 millimeter for a platen. It is the platen cartridge. Okay, this one's a cartridge refill as well. Oh, yeah, of course. I keep thinking that somehow the Preppy, it is a eyedropper, but it's not. It's meant to use cartridge, not eyedropper. You can eyedropper modify the Preppy, but it's not really the original intended purposes. But at $10 each with a some special design, even if it is screen printed, right? $3 for a extra designed specialty color with a limited release, seasonal release. I wouldn't say limited because this probably comes in very large amount number, but let's say seasonal release. That's really not too bad. I just wonder if they will be really available to purchase individually. I'm pretty sure they will, but I'm not sure the individual purchase price is going to be. But keep an eye out. This should be released in July, and I may probably grab a few just to pen-imbo/pen-addict some people. The next topic up is actually what I have brought previously, the fact that Gulet is probably trying to find a new partner for their limited special edition, because it looks like the Edison is no longer doing exclusive with Gulet pens. This may have been the case on previous designs. I'm not entirely sure. If this already happened, I apologize. But this is a new Edison collab with the Atlas Stationery for the Edison Collier Nebula. This is an Atlas exclusive, and it looks like everyone has a different idea of how the space is going to look like, right? And this one from Edison Pen and Nebula is a, I would say, a navy blue color mixed in with a little bit of white and also red in color. It is mixed with a rainbow color or just rainbow star color middle flick built in. And it comes in the typical Edison Collier pen function. And being an Edison pen, this is a typical Edison pen. This is a cartridge/converter. I know Edison has different mechanism that it may sell if you request. However, this typically, on special color like this, most of it is released in the cartridge and the converter style. And of course, the nib, it is, I believe Edison uses Yovo nibs typically. Is it Yovo? Let me double check. Okay, yeah, the Edison limited edition are using Yovo nibs. Of course, this is a stainless steel nib, not anything fancy. Comes in fine, extra fine, medium, broad, 1.1 and 1.5. And being both using Yovo nibs, and okay, I'll give Monta Grappa a little bit of credit because they do have their own stamp on the nib, so they do have their own designs. The Edison nib are just laser etched. So it's maybe the price of the nib is just a slightly more on the Monta Grappa end, but I don't think it justifies the pricing of $316 versus the Edison Collier at the Nebula at Atlas to be $199. They are two pens of, let's be honest, really similar make in terms of methods of production, because they're both turned nib with a cast blank, except that the Taylor Pen Company is maybe at a slightly lower volumes, and the Monta Grappa has a middle threading section, so the middle thread could possibly make it a little bit more durable, even though I don't think I really heard anyone that has complained that they have worn out the plastic threads on their own pen as well. But as it currently stands, the price difference between the two is quite a bit. It is $117 more for the Monta Grappa editions. I am, of course, guilty of buying a pen of much similar price, but that was the Leonardo Memento Zero So it is a much chunkier, larger pan. And on top of that, it uses the piston filling mechanism instead of cartridge converters / cartridges for the Monta Grappa and Edison. So that is a added bonus / added cost to the pen. And at 314 total. I think $200 for the Edison one at Atlas is a fair value proposition for most people, especially if you like the color. This kind of color scheme kind of reminds me of what Benu actually would release, to be completely honest with you, because it is very showy, very bright. And the color, it looks like, is also semi-transparent. And again, there's no video, so you can't really tell how it actually handles in person. Hopefully someone can release a video showing how the pen functions in their hand before it sells out, so everyone can make their own judgment of whether to pick up the pen or not. But again, these are resin cast pens, so the pattern may not turn out to be exactly what you wanted. Like my slight issue with the Monta Grappa one that I recently received. That's one thing you really had to worry about, this limited kind of edition with the non-uniform color matching, right? If you get a sealer pen that's injection molded with the middle flake inside, in one hand you can say that, yeah, that's just injection molded pen, it shouldn't cost that much. But at the same time, it is a sealer with a much heavier, longer history of backing up the brand. And at the same time, it is these injection molded pens are extremely consistent in terms of their dispersion, their uniformity of the metal flake, the coloring of their pens. So it is harder for you to receive something in your hand that is not representing of what you see online when other people get it. So there's always that risk of buying pens not in person, and you are the judge to see whether you want to take that risk or not. All right, and now let's switch to a slightly more personal topic. As I have previously mentioned in the podcast, I was looking for Namiki number 50. So I am very happy to announce that the search is over. I have officially purchased them through, on this one, I believe I purchased through Buy. The main buying purchase process was rather painless, actually. You just give you the Rakuten link and they will purchase a pen, ship it to your warehouse. I believe they charge you $4 extra for the handling fee. And they buy also charges you, buy actually makes some additional money from the Rakuten point rebate that's going on. Typically it's like 10%. So that's quite a bit for them to eat up. But I mean, if you are going to just only buy Rakuten from time to time, or like once or twice in your entire lifetime, I guess that doesn't really matter in some sense. And that is just something that the differences that Rakuten is able to pocket. But yes, I have a Namiki Emperor number 50 in vermilion media nib shipping to me as we record this podcast. I have asked one coworker and one ex-coworker to find a pen for me while they're in Japan, because of course the Japan pricing is a lot cheaper than the USA pricing. I had to apologize for some of the USA distributor that has been very nice and gentle at the pen shows to demonstrating the pen. But it is just really hard to swallow a $1,200 difference between the two, given the current exchange rate. So yeah, I'll be honest, I got this directly from Japan, and it has been shipped to me. But I need to talk about the issue with shipment, actually. So here's a little bit funny thing that I need to talk about. The the Tensor / Baie, if you, okay, let me just give everyone a suggestion. If you want to buy this in the future, or if you want to buy anything from Tensor or Baie in the future, don't cheap out on the shipping options. There is an option you can choose between the fastest shipping air, which is going to be EMS, versus normal shipping, which is going to be either FedEx or UPS or DHL, depends on how Baie feels that day. Choose EMS, honestly. Don't do UPS or FedEx. It's not worth it. The price difference is about $6. I cheaped out and I did FedEx. What I didn't know about is the fact that if you buy pants through FedEx, you have to fill out a TSCA form. When the FedEx have your pen or have your item through the customs. What is TSCA for people not in USA or not doesn't have to deal with this? This is a Toxic Substance Control Act of 1976 in USA. Because they suspect that your fountain pen has liquid, or actually, okay, I apologize. In this case, yes, my package does contain liquid because there is a bottle of Namiki Blue Black ink inside. But regardless, they have to ask you to declare whether you have poisonous substance in your package or not, and whether it is past American law to ship to you in your possession. For a certain substance. For fountain pen, this is simple. Basically, this is not legal advice per se, but based on my purchase of just a Namiki Emperor number 50, you just click yes. Everything is according to TSCA Act, and everything is not controlled substance and not illegal to carry, and you will be fine. The tricky thing is you need to file your own personal name as company name and other stuff. When you are dealing with Baie nowadays, they actually be pretty, when you do it now, not Baie actually, this is, if you search Reddit, there's a lot of suggestions on how to fill this out. And if you receive it from FedEx, actually FedEx had nowadays, they actually give you a sample or instruction how to fill the form as well versus how it used to be 4 or 5 years ago. So it's a little bit more simplified now, but if you want to buy this through USPS, USPS / EMS doesn't care. Because as of now, my pen is delayed in the custom for at least 4 days just due to the TSCA clearance issues. And if you want your pen as fast as possible, or you simply just don't want people to open your package, inspect it, and possibly mess it up, do USPS as much as you can, assuming you live in the USA. Of America, right? If you are living in other countries, of course, the situation may be a little bit different. But if you're in USA, if you buy from Japan, Baie, whatever shipping services you're using, use USPS. It will make your life a lot simpler. And while talking about troubles, I am running into a weird issue lately with my Chokuro. The most recent fail, I have been using this ink on and off for like maybe 4 or 5 fails now. This is, by the way, is the Platinum Chokuro. It is their super, super black, the darkest black possible pigment ink released by Platinum. Previously, I feel this into the Pilot Silver edition, the Pokemon collab, basically, if you are interested. This pen plus the Platinum Chokuro has never given me any issues until this most current fill. The only thing I did differently is people suggest you to shake the bottle really well because there could be sediment on the bottom of the ink cartridge, of the ink build up. So I did that. But it honestly shouldn't have mattered if the pigment powder is refined small enough, but I did it anyway. And the result is now that the pen writes with the dry starts. And the occasionally, if I leave it on for maybe like 2 or 3 days not writing it, it completely dries up in the tip. This is a very different different situation than how the ink behave. Maybe during the last fill of 3 or 4 months ago. It could be a temperature as well. I'm not entirely sure, but I need to investigate. I use the brass shim to clear out the nib sections. And the nib itself, it seemed to work for a couple of days, but now is back to its original clog fest. And it just doesn't really want to write on the very first couple stroke after you uncap it for a while. After you kept it capped for a while. So, if you happen to use the Platinum Chokuro, and sometimes if you just run into feed/water/ continuation issues like this, let me know and let me know how you solve the issue, because I am kind of dumbfounded at exactly what could be the issue this time, because it has been behaving so well for me the last couple of times I have refilled it with this specific combo. All right, next product up, it is the Campus Notebook. We don't really talk about new notebooks often on this show, but this one actually kind of piqued my interest. This is the Campus Notebook B5 flat type. And I think the biggest seller for this one is, as you know, the Campus Notebook are pretty decently priced, economical. Pretty decently priced pen notebook that is suitable for fountain pen usage. And what they have offer on this new set is the fact that it is a notebook that lays completely flat, and apparently they have won some Japanese award for this design as well. And it is in 7mm spacing for between your lines, and you get a pack of 3 for the price of $750. So if you want a fountain pen friendly notebook that can just completely lay flat on your desk and without kind of, now you know, like a lot of times we have ream binds and the other bindings that they laid mostly flat, it's not completely flat. The image that they showcase on the Campus Notebook flat type, it looks like they are like truly completely flat once laid it down. The page doesn't have like a tendency of wanting to go to certain locations. It just opens up and sits on the table without any mind of itself, for the lack of a better descriptions. It is also available in the 6mm horizontal roll with dots as well. But the 6mm version is already completely sold out, and only 7mm is available on the Kokuyo websites. And I think I just saw Bangu also sells it. But let me see. How much is Bangu sells it for? Bangu sells it for $10. Ooh, actually that costs more. $10 for 3 as well. And they have both the 6mm and the 7mm. They call it B-roll and A-roll. The B-roll being the 6mm and the A-roll being the 7mm. Bangu also tried to promote this to be sold with the 1P gel pen, which again is actually really, really high recently. And now after owning it, I could definitely see why people like them quite a bit, because they are very, very easy to use. Very, very easy to use ballpoints. Okay, so the last topic is something that not necessarily fountain pens, but I think something very interesting. So, of course, everyone knows that April 1st is April Fool's. So you're going to get a lot of joking emails and a lot of emails like that. I think some other company does a more or less like a market research instead of an actual joke. They will put it in a way that is kind of joking, but it is actually them trying to get a taste of a market to see if people are going to respond saying that, hey, I will actually buy this if you release it. But in this case, it is a... So I got an email from Atlas on March 31st to celebrate the National Pencil Day. So for me, I was just thinking that, hey, look, some other area is half a day to close to two-thirds of a day that is further than ours. So maybe this could just be an April 1st joke that got sent to me a little bit too early. No, it was not. In fact, the National Pencil Day is March 30th. They kind of established it not too many years ago. So something brand new, of course. And Atlas Dictionary has linked some pen that I did not know is available in mechanical pencil form. So let's take a look, okay? First of all, this is a Sailor Pro Gear Edition, a mechanical pencil. I did not know that they make this, and I kind of question the pencil is basically stuck in the cap version, I believe. I have not really seen someone operating this, but this uses a 0.7 millimeter lid inside, and it looks like just a uncapped Pro Gear. And you stuck a mechanical pencil mechanic inside it. Actually, in fact, I don't think you can cap the... Oh, no, you can keep this capped and the mechanic for extracting and detracting the pencil is definitely in the back. It looks like the entire clicking mechanism is actually covered by the cap if you choose to post it. So... if you want to use a pen directly, you're not supposed to cap the pen, which mechanical pencil, you're going to have to click on that pen, that lid loosening slash extraction quite often. So I'm not sure this is a really good idea for design wise, but if you want to have a mechanical pencil to match your recently acquired Sailor Pro Gear in fountain pen 4, I would say, yeah, go ahead and get this. And on the other hand, Lummi has a mechanical pencil that is completely targeting a different demographic compared to the Pro Gear crew, okay? This is their Lummi Mechanical Pencil ABC, I guess. So what it means is that it is for kids that is learning how to write ABC. This is a mechanical pencil using 1.4 millimeter diameter lid, so it is extremely difficult for kids to break the lid. This pen is only $8.5 at Endless Pen, so it's actually pretty cheap. It has your traditional Lamy triangle grip just a tad bit. Supposedly, maybe they still want to force the kids into gripping the pen in certain ways, or the quote-unquote right way, which is honestly how I was taught as well. It will let you write pens without running into a lot of the carpal tunnel slash muscle issues, along with the especially with the vanishing point, how the clip is designed. But regardless, back to this pen. Funny thing about this pen is that, well, for kid, they didn't really skimp out on the material. For $8.50, you actually get a maple wood. And nowadays, for slightly different pens in wooden finishes, the additional tack-on cost a lot of times is more than $8.50, right? So this is maybe this is Lamy's that, Toyota makes the cheapest car possible Corollas to entice people into using Corolla for life, using a Toyota for life, singles to Honda Civics. I think a lot of the car manufacturers, for their most cheapest car available, it is a hook to get people into using the brand, because there was a research that was stated most people stuck, I won't say most, but a big population of the world stuck with the first car brand they have when they first purchase a car or when they were growing up. So having a cheap alternative entry drug, I mean, entry pencil, it may be a pretty good strategic item to be made for Lamy, because I think a pen like this for $8.50, it is a little bit cheaper than what the more fancy material pens were typically fetched for. Well, fancy as in a hybrid of plastic and wood, right? All right, that will be the very last topic I want to cover in today's episode. We can be found at fountainpenandstationery.com. Our Instagram is fountainpenandstationery, all underscores, and we can be reached at fountainpenstationery@gmail.com. I am fully expected to be able to get my pen on the next recording of our podcast, and so I will be sharing some of my thoughts on honestly, one of the grail pen that I really want to get, the Namiki Urushi Vermilion number 50. It is definitely a big chunky boy, and we will see how it rides. I am very much excited to have a pilot's largest nib available in my hand for long-term review, because it is one thing to try it out at a pen show, and it is another thing to actually own the pen and use it for your daily life to see how the nib actually functions. Well, with that being said, thank you everyone for listening and for tuning into this podcast, and I will see you all next time. Goodbye.